Okay, take your Bibles now and turn to Romans chapter 12, if you will, please. Romans chapter 12. If you did not get one of the outlines and you'd like to have one of these, raise your hand. We can get that to you. I think most everybody should have gotten them. But all right. Brother Larry, y'all did a good job, so thank you for that. We're in a series called It's Not What You Think. And so today this will be lesson number 8, overcoming evil with good. Overcoming evil with good. It's good to have Brother Rigsby's class in here. Not that it was good that you had a fire over there. But anyway, it's good to have their class here. Next week I'll be gone. He'll be teaching the class. So you'll look forward to that. And I will try to be here on that special anniversary Sunday, okay? So that'll be good, Brother Tim. All right, overcoming evil with good. And I had said a while back, the lesson on love your enemies is probably the hardest one, but I believe this one's a little harder. It may be just a little bit tougher to carry out, one of the most challenging, I think, in the whole series that we have. Let's look at these verses very quickly. Let's just go over them, and then we'll make our comments about these particular verses. In Romans 12, beginning with verse 18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance, getting even with, paying back, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. That's quite a recipe, isn't it? Really, this is God's word, and we have to believe it, and we should practice it. So this is, I think, a step further than the last study that said, bless those that curse you. Well, this one says, do good to those that say bad things, not only say bad things, but do bad things against you. It's one thing for people to say bad things against you, but sometimes they combine that with doing bad things against you. And so we have to deal with how we're going to react to that. Most of us, you know, your grandchildren or children, they'll be fighting. And mama will say, or daddy, why did you hit him? And what's the reply? Well, he hit me first. And that's usually what they're going to say. Or maybe it's a girl and a boy. But that's our nature. That is our sense. And our natural way to respond. Someone else is always in the wrong, we think, maybe. And then we deserve to be able to get revenge because that's just our responsibility. So that's the normal way to respond. That's the way unsaved people respond. But it is not supposed to be the way that Christians respond. We should respond differently. A story is told about a young boy in Korea. And he was a houseboy for some soldiers. And they liked to pick on him. And so they would tell jokes on him, and they would tease him, tie his shoestrings together, lock him outside and not let him back in the house, a lot of things like that. And finally, they realized, hey, he's not really responding to this too good, and we probably ought to back off and apologize. So they went to him and apologized. And he said, oh, don't worry about it. He said, that's okay. I'll stop spitting in your suit now. So he was getting even with them all the time. But we don't want to be that way. And they shouldn't have been that way either. But we can repay evil with good. And how are we going to do that? Well, it does take God's help. We have to have God's help to do it because it just isn't natural. And so we have an illustration of obedience to this particular thing in response and in action, and that was David. David was chosen to be king of Israel when he was a teenager. And he was anointed by Samuel to be king. Later, he was going to reign. But he understood who he was, and he became Saul's servant or musician. Pardon me. 1 Samuel 16 and verse 23 says, "And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand, so Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him." So here's David, who had already been anointed king, but he's serving Saul, who is presently the king, and God, of course, put him in that position. So they come to the place where nobody will fight Goliath, and here's little David. He steps up, and he fights Goliath and wins the victory, righteous valor as it was, and had the triumph. 1 Samuel 17 tells about it, and David said in verse 32, David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with the Philistines." So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling, with a stone, smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, took his sword, drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him, cut his head off therewith. So David is doing good in a righteous cause, in a valor, a cause that would give him valor. And he's doing good in that. And trouble came, even though he's doing right anyway. What happened? Saul got jealous. Jealousy is a horrible thing, isn't it? And Saul got jealous of David. In 1 Samuel 18, 6 through 9, and it came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, "Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And the Bible says, and Saul was very wroth. He was mad. He was jealous. He was angry about the whole thing. But David kept his place, and he kept playing the harp for Saul, kept serving Saul in that capacity. Even though Saul, being jealous, tried to kill him, there was at least two times when he tried to kill him and threw a javelin at him, and it went into the wall, 1 Samuel 18, 11, and Saul cast the javelin, for he said, "I will smite David even to the wall with it." He meant business, didn't he? In other words, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to throw that javelin, and it's going through him and hit the wall, and he'll be dead. And David avoided out of his presence two different times. He had to avoid it, and yet Saul wanted to kill him. And he was so jealous about it. 1 Samuel 19, 1, Saul spake to Jonathan, his son, and to all his servants that they should do what? Kill David. He wanted them to kill David. So obviously that was wrong and that was unfair, and it was born out of jealousy. But David had during this time two opportunities himself to kill King Saul. He could have done it. You can read about it in 1 Samuel 24 and also chapter 26. But David could have easily killed Saul. But yet David resisted and he waited on God. From these things, what David did, the experiences that David had, we can learn about three things, and that's what the body of the lesson is really about. Three ways that we can overcome evil with good. And David was doing that. Number one, we overcome evil by thinking properly. By thinking properly. You see, our mind will cause us to do what we think. Whatever we're thinking, that's what we're going to do. And if we are thinking biblically, we're not going to think vengeance. If we think biblically, what are we going to think? Our text was that we're going to leave vengeance in the hand of God. That's biblical, isn't it? That's what the Bible says. You pardon me for coughing and hacking today. I've had a sinus problems. So a lot of you can, how many of you have had problems with that recently? Okay, pray for me. Man, that's everybody. No wonder we're all coughing. But anyway, he said vengeance belongs to God. And then we need to think properly about yourself. You think properly about yourself. David thought that way about himself. He wanted to do what God said, and then he had the right attitude about himself, and he responded to Saul's persecution with a very humble view of himself. 1 Samuel 24:14. Pardon me, I'll get a little water, see if that'll help. Nothing more frustrating to a speaker than when he has something like this. So, but anyway, we'll go on. Think properly about yourself. 1 Samuel 24:14. After whom is the king of Israel come out? After whom dost thou pursue? After a dead dog? After a flea? Now who's saying that? David. And look at his attitude toward himself compared to the king. He's saying, why are you attacking me? Why do you want to kill me? You want to kill a dead dog? You want to kill somebody that's just a simple flea? And by the way, during those days, the dog was one of the animals that the Jewish people, by and large, really hated. And they despised them. And of course, everybody despises fleas. I remember one time coming back from Christian camp with a busload of kids, and we had bus trouble. You always have bus trouble. It was a Baptist bus, you know. And we stopped on the side of the interstate, got up on the hill, and after a while we discovered that there were ticks all over everybody, that kind of thing. And we had fun when we got back in, people picking ticks out of hair and all that. But what could be more something that could really bother us any more than fleas or ticks or something of that nature? But he said, that's all I am. I'm just, why are you taking time to hate me like this and treat me like this? And he's saying to Saul, I'm not a threat. And yet that's the natural response. So we deserve better than the evil they've rendered us, is what we're saying. Romans 12:3, for I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. That's good advice to all of us. But to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Whenever asked if he ever encountered situations in which he did not know what to do, Samuel Morris, the famous inventor, responded this way, and I quote him, more than once, and whenever I could not see my way clearly, I knelt down and prayed to God for light and understanding. And he'd say, I was frustrated, but I prayed to God. And then he said, as he talked about the invention and everybody was bragging about it, he said this, I have made a valuable application of electricity, not because I was superior to other men, but solely because God, who meant it for mankind, in other words, the good of all mankind, must reveal it to someone, and he was pleased to reveal it to me. He was just saying, I'm God's servant. I didn't do it. God had to have somebody to do it, and he happened to choose me. So we have to have a right view of self-will, and that will always humble us and keep us from wanting to return evil for evil. David had the right attitude toward himself, and therefore he didn't want to return evil for evil. So we need to think properly about ourselves. And then think properly about others. About others. See, David knew that Saul was anointed by God too, and that he was God's chosen leader. And David trusted God. He knew that God would take care of it and deal with him. He knew that. It wasn't his job, it was God's job. 1 Samuel 26:10-11. David said, furthermore, as the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall descend into battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed. But I pray thee, take thou now the spear that is at his bolster, that's his headpiece or the pillow at his bolster, and the cruse of water, and let us go. He said, let's do this. We don't want to kill him. Saul confessed finally that he was wrong when David let him know what had taken place, and he wanted David back. 1 Samuel 26:21. Then Saul said, I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will no more do thee harm, because my soul was precious in thine sight this day. In other words, you could have killed me and you didn't. Behold, I have played the fool and have erred exceedingly. Well, he had repentant heart for a little while, but it didn't last. And he let jealousy come back up in his life. So David's kindness, nevertheless, at least for a while, touched the heart of Saul. And here's a thought that we need maybe consider. Some hurt, some people are hurting because they've been hurt, and we might be able to understand them if we would talk to them and give them a little relief from their hurt. And sometimes that's the problem that people are having, and it's reconciliation rather than retaliation. Maybe they're going through some things we don't realize, and if we'd sit down and talk with them, we might realize it, and we wouldn't retaliate, but we would be able to reconcile with those people. So our battle is with the devil. That's who our battle is with. And, of course, he's the source of all evil. So the real battle is not with people, other people, but it's with Satan. Ephesians 6:12 reminds us of that. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So what do we wrestle against? Against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. And that's the devil and demons. So he helps us to see the real enemy. And David wants us to know that God will deal with the enemy. God will take care of that. So we overcome evil by thinking properly, and then we overcome evil by doing right. And that's what David did. David did right, and he overcame the evil tendency to get even. So we need to commit to doing things right. David's first chance in the cave there was to cut it. He cut off part of the cloak and of Saul and let him know that he did that, but he committed all of that to God. He let God handle it. 1 Samuel 24, again, the story you recall. The men of David said unto him, behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. They're saying, see here, David, here's the opportunity. God told you he was going to take care of Saul. And he said, this is the time. But David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privately, and said unto his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. So he wanted to do the right thing, and that was the right thing. And there was a second opportunity when he was asleep in a camp, and his spear was by his bolster, by his pillow, his headpiece. And David's men were saying, kill him. And that's in 1 Samuel 26:9-11. That's exactly what they wanted. Now, we're not responsible. You're not responsible. I'm not responsible for how other people act. They have their responsibility. They have their choice. I'm not responsible for how other people may act. But I am responsible, and so are you, for how we react. No matter how they act, how we react, I am responsible. And so we say we return evil for evil. And here's our thinking sometimes. He did such a terrible thing to me, so that's why I did this back to him. That's our thinking. He mistreated me. That's why I'm mistreating him. But we shouldn't blame others for evil and others for our circumstances. We have to do what is right and render evil for evil. If we do that, we're the victims, not the victors. And if we render good for evil, then we are the victors, and that victory comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the only way we're going to have that victory. And then B in your outline, or the second point there under that division, not only commit to doing things right, but commit to making things right. Commit to making things right. And that's an important thing. Saul had no good reason for his actions, not at all. David was kind to him. And David tried to reason with him. 1 Samuel 26:19. Now, therefore, I pray thee, let my Lord the king hear the words of his servant. If the Lord have stirred thee up against me, let him accept an offering. But if they be the children of men, cursed be they before the Lord, for they have driven me out this day from abiding in the inheritance of the Lord, saying, go, serve other gods. Now, David tried to reason with Saul, but Saul wouldn't listen. He was communicating that if he had done something wrong, he wanted Saul to forgive him. He wanted to make it right. That was his attitude towards Saul, even though Saul was mistreating him. David was communicating that if he had done it wrong, he wanted to examine himself and see and let me know if I've done wrong, and then I'll try to work it out with you. One of the best things we can do sometimes when there's a problem is sit down with a person we're having the problem with and try as Christians to sit down and with the right attitude, not being mad and angry, resolve the conflicts. That's God's will for us. It may be a family member, it may be a church member, it may be somebody you work with, whatever it may be. Matthew 5:23-24. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother had aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. He said, that's the right way to do it. This leaving the offering is okay and important, but something much more important is to get things right between you and the person where you have problems. Matthew 18:15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, do what? Go tell everybody else about him and badmouth him. No, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone, just the two of you. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. In other words, make an effort to resolve the problem. And that is God's will. Now, if you don't have any success, he said, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. If you don't succeed, that's not your fault, and you can at least feel good about the fact that you did what God wanted you to do. All right? So, overcome evil by thinking properly, overcome evil by doing right, and then thirdly, overcome evil by letting go. Letting go. Let go of what? Bitterness. You know, bitterness will weigh you down. Bitterness will hurt you more than anybody else. Instead of moving forward in God's grace, when we are bitter, we get stuck in the past, and that doesn't please God. Bitterness would weigh us down, will weigh the individual down if we're bitter. So we need to let go of the hurt, and when we do, that frees us up from the bondage that we have and gives us peace. So you say, well, how do we let go then? How do we let go of it? It's hard. We know we've been mistreated. How do we let go of it? Well, it recognizes the sovereignty of God. You have to recognize the sovereignty of God. David knew that God was in control of everything. He knew that he was a sovereign and that he would take care of it. David said, I'm not to take care of it. God's in control, and if there's anything to be done, God will do it. So Saul had been anointed by God, and he would control things. If he could anoint him, put him in that position, anytime he wanted to, he could take him out of that position because he's sovereign over men's affairs. 1 Samuel 24:6-7, and he said unto his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master. I'm not going to do it. The Lord's anointed to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. So David stayed his servants with these words, and he suffered them not to rise against Saul. He wouldn't let them do it. And there's some other verses that back that up. So David would have to put up with stress. He would have to put up with disappointment and being Saul's persecution and all that Saul was doing to him. And that's not natural for us to be able to do that, but we like to take control. But David said, let God be God. God's in control. Let God do what God does, and whatever God does will be right. Recognize his sovereignty. And then recognize the righteousness of God. He knew that God would make wrong things right, that God is in the business of doing that. And so this truth over and over and over is repeated in Scripture. Let me just give you one illustration in Genesis 18:25. That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? He's the judge, he's the sovereign, and God will make the wrongs right in his time. And David knew that God was going to judge Saul at some point because God is righteous. 1 Samuel 24:15, the Lord therefore be judge and judge between me and thee and see and plead my cause and deliver me out of thine hand. When we refuse to forgive and we hold grudges, we are doubting God's ability to handle that problem on the other end. If we hold grudges, God can take care of it, and we fall into the trap of believing that God's not fair. We need to take matters into our own hands, and that's a wrong way to look at it. You see, God is always going to do right, isn't he? God always, always does right, and he'll discipline his children if they need it, and he'll deal with those who have done wrong. So if we're holding on to bitterness, it does nothing but hurt the other person, but it does great damage to us. Does nothing to hurt the other person, does great damage to us. Hebrews 12:15, looking diligently, being careful, lest any man fail of the grace of God, taking advantage of what God enables you to do. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. It doesn't just hurt you, it hurts a lot of people when there is bitterness and anger. And there's a vine in South America known as the matador, or the matador, we would say it. The vine grows at the foot of the tree, it goes up and winds around the tree, goes all the way to the top of the tree and kills the tree. The word matador in Spanish means killer. Means killer. And so bitterness works that way. Bitterness is a killer. And when we let it grow in us, it eventually will destroy those around us and it will destroy us. So one of the hardest things to do is overcome evil with good. And we are told clearly by the Bible to do that. So we leave the injustice. Here's what we should do. Leave that in the hands of God. That's hard to do, but we have to learn to do what God says. And then respond with kindness as he's taught us to. And then often that diffuses the conflict. And hopefully, it gains a brother back. One man's son was being bullied at school, terribly bullied. And he found out about it. And the little boy's dad was from Houston, Texas. Whenever he discovered that his 8-year-old son, his son's name was Jordan, was bullied, he decided to handle that with kindness instead of telling his son to get even or whatever. But he got permission to spend the day with the bully. The bully's name was Tamarin, and he got permission to spend the day with the bully. And through the conversation with him, he learned that his family was homeless. And that he was bullied. He had been bullied much by people making fun of the clothes that he wore. And so Aubrey, the boy's daddy, took Tamarin to buy new clothes. He sat down with the two boys, helped them work out their differences. And then it ended on a positive note as he posted on Facebook, "Problem solved," showing Aubrey shared that the bully was willing to open up to him. He could sense Aubrey's care. And so that solved the problem. They didn't react the way you normally would react. He took matters into a loving way and try to work it out, and it did work out. There's no guarantee that it always will, but it's certainly worth the effort to be able to do that. So we need to overcome evil with good. That's what the Bible teaches. Allow God to work. Give him time to work. He'll take care of the matter. Demonstrate God's love to those who may not realize they need it. They do need it many times. But we look at an unjust act toward us, and there are some. And we should look at it in this way, as God shows us in his word, as an opportunity to do good, to overcome evil with good. That is clear in the word of God. That's what God expects. And if we think like God, obey God, and realize God's sovereign and holy, and that God's going to take care of it, and justice will be done by him in his way, in his time, then we don't destroy ourselves and other people around us, because we overcome evil with good. Quite a challenge, isn't it? And yet, it's not one iota short of what God has commanded us to do in his word. And we have to work at it, and through the power of the Holy Spirit of God, be able to do that. Father, we thank you for your word. Help us to live out your word. It's because of our evil nature and because we're depraved, even though we're saved. So many times we want to get even, and our pride gets in the way, and we want to fight back, and we want to take matters into our own hands, and we shouldn't do that according to your perfect and holy word. Help us to be kind to those that are not kind to us, and those who, dear God, mistreat us, and help us to do everything we can to work it out and find out what the problem is, and to try to solve the problem in a Christian way. And then if others will not cooperate, help us to leave it in your hands and let you take care of it and not get involved by getting in the flesh and trying to do it ourselves. Help us to do what you told us to do through the power and the help of the Holy Spirit, who will equip us and empower us, enable us to be able to do it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.